This is part two for the podcast for Monday, November 16th, 2015, Ethics. And we left off talking about the humanity formulation of the categorical imperative, which is act so as to treat humanity as an end in itself and never merely as a means. And when it's talking about an end in itself, Kant's talking about the results. So the idea is that you can't treat a person as a means the way you achieve the results. You have to treat them as a result themselves. So you have to think about their goals, their interests, and think about them as a person and as an independent value rather than just seeing them as a means to achieve your values. So this is behind the intuition it's wrong to use people. You can't treat a person like a tool or an inanimate object. You can't treat a person as a means of achieving some end. You have to treat them as an end in themselves. So they, by virtue of being a person, they deserve a certain amount of respect and certain kinds of treatment. And you can't just see them as something to be used to get what you want. So a couple of examples we talked about in class. And by the way, my recorder became full, so it stopped recording near the end of class. So this is to fill in the gaps, as it were. So the jealousy plot is the first example we talked about. And that's just this idea you see in these teen comedies where a couple breaks up and then one partner starts dating somebody else, not because they care about that person, but simply to make the other partner jealous and make them want to get back together. And once the other partner starts showing an interest, the other ones drop like a hot potato. And the idea is that's treating a person as a means to an end, not an end in themselves. And it's treating them as an object or a tool to further some goal, namely getting back the other partner. Perhaps you've experienced the tyrannical boss, the boss that treats you as a cog in his business machine. He doesn't care that you're a student. He doesn't want to give you time off. He doesn't want to work around your school schedule. He just wants you to help him make as much money as possible, and he's entirely willing to make your life miserable to do so. He may rule through fear and intimidation, threats of firing you, breathe down your neck, and tell you to work faster, and generally make your life a living hell. Why? Because he thinks that that's going to make him the most money. And Kant would say that as a boss, you need to treat your employees with respect. You need to take their interests into some account. You should accommodate them as much as is possible given the business environment. And the employees deserve to be treated with respect and fairness. Theft and murder are extreme cases of treating people as means, so the thief doesn't care about the loss that his victim experiences. The trauma that the person experiences, PTSD, a feeling of violation when your home's been broken into, the trauma of being robbed at gunpoint. He doesn't think about the repercussions at all. He just thinks about the stuff that he's going to hawk in order to get drugs or what have you. So he's treating people as a means of getting money. And murder is, of course, the most extreme case where you're willing to annihilate a person in order to get what you want, whether it's maybe it's in the course of a robbery or a rape, and the idea is you're going to get what you want, and then you're going to eliminate all the witnesses. And, of course, so you're treating the person as a means to achieve some end, whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's the revenge. And the idea is that you don't care about that, you care about that person so little that you're willing to kill them to get what you want. And prostitution, Kant says that again, you're treating a person as an object. So if you're a client, you're treating the prostitute as a means to pleasure. And you're not thinking about them as a person, and you're depersonalizing what should be a very personal and intimate interaction. Now, suppose you were to come back and say, well, wait a minute, isn't the client getting something out of it too? Sorry, isn't the prostitute getting something out of it too? Typically, it's she, so she's getting money from the client. Maybe she's treating him as an object to get money from. And Kant would actually say that makes the situation doubly bad because they're using each other. And they're both objectifying each other. She's seeing the client as a money object, and he's seeing the prostitute as a sex object. One objection to Kant is, you know, doesn't modern life require these sort of impersonal interactions, leaving prostitution aside for a moment? Suppose you pull up to a fast food restaurant window as you're going through the drive-thru, and the person says, may I take your order? And you say, how are they treating you here? And he says, okay, I guess it's a job. Can I take your order, please? What do you think about the $15 minimum wage? Don't you think you deserve a living wage? Yeah, go Sanders. Okay, you're holding up the line here, buddy. Pretty soon people behind you start honking. So you can't treat someone that you're having some commercial transaction with like your best friend. And we do these things all the time. The cashiers, customer service representatives. So, you know, can you really treat people as in themselves all the time? It seems that much of the time you have to treat a person, like an object. And many of these service-oriented jobs have been replaced with ATMs and kiosks, and it's largely automated. But in cases where it hasn't been, until that fast food worker is replaced by a robot, which is, coming down the pike, you're going to have to interact with this person, and you're not going to be able to treat them like you would a close personal relationship. Well, I think Kant would say what does it mean to treat a person as a person in this context? It just means exhibiting common courtesy, saying please and thank you, not getting upset if they get your order wrong, and polite to the other person. And, coming back to the prostitution case, maybe that's enough in that situation. Maybe you say please and thank you. You don't coerce the prostitute to do something she's uncomfortable with. You make sure to pay what you owe, and maybe that sort of interaction is sufficient. And it may be that this is one of those cases where Kant's religious conservatism colors the way he applies his theory. So Kant, being a pietist, he's against prostitution, and so he uses theory to say, well, it depersonalizes this thing that should be personal. But maybe if you think about it in terms of the sex worker's autonomy and her right over her own body to use it as she will, and perhaps you look at her other choices for making money, this is the best in her situation if it's that, or waiting tables for a very low wage, or doing some sort of manual labor. Maybe she prefers prostitution, and it seems like you could argue that could be a legitimate choice. And maybe the same thing with the client. Maybe he doesn't have a lot of options. Maybe he's very busy. Maybe he's a wallflower. Maybe he's got issues with past relationships that have blown up on him. You might say that Prostitution might be okay under deontology. It's just that Kant doesn't recognize this and wants his theory to rule it out because he opposes it on other grounds, or he's sort of a product of his time and his upbringing, and has a sort of a prejudice in the way he applies his view. Okay, and that's the end of deontology. We'll talk a little bit about criticisms of deontology on Wednesday and then get straight into Aristotle.